Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast with your host, John Orlando. Ladies and gentlemen, here I am in Casa de la Orlando, chilling out here on a Sunday. It's actually Oscars Sunday, where the Academy Awards will be passed out for the best in film, and I'm actually going to talk about that after I get through a bunch of wrestling news. I am going solo this week. I'm going to be honest, I had a few folks that I was planning on having come in and join me, but unfortunately, just schedules conflicted. But I do hope to get somebody to stop on by here and chat with me. Got a few folks that I'm thinking about. But nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, it's just going to be me. So let's get right into it. I want to take care of a few house cleaning items because, as many people commented, probably one of the more entertaining editions of this beloved podcast was last week when the marquee Mikey D stopped by. I'm glad people liked it. I really am. I'm happy that I got some very good comments about it. Obviously Mikey's quite a colorful character, but in the process of having him on the show, I forgot to mention about a couple of things, so I'm going to take care of that in my house cleaning section of the podcast. Want to hype up two big shows, ladies and gentlemen, that are coming up. One of which I will be a part of. The other one, sadly, I will not be a part of. The first one, of course, March 16th. That is the big OCW 10th anniversary show happening in Coshocton. Some matches have already been signed. It's going to be Robbie Starr versus the Hot Commodity Matt Mason in a big grudge match. The OCW heavyweight title will be on the line as Caden Assad is going to take on Big Guns Jeff Cannon. My guest last week, the marquee Mikey D, defends his OCW Ohio Heritage Championship against the Noble Blood himself, Lord Matthew Taylor. Plus, there's going to be an alumni battle royal. I understand that Juice Jennings and Joey Vengeance have issued a challenge to the Butcher Jeremy Madrox, and he will find a partner. He doesn't have one right now, but he said he's going to find a partner and challenge for those tag belts. It's been 10 years in the making, ladies and gentlemen. And I know there's a lot of rumors circulating around, and I'm not even going to give them credence by mentioning them here on this podcast. But it's going to be a heck of a show, so definitely check out www.ocwrestling.net for all the information on how to get tickets and all the ins and outs, if you will, for that big show. Now, the next show is going to take place April 19th. It's the DBI 2, ladies and gentlemen, the Dustin Battendorf Invitational Part 2. I was happy to be part of it this past year. It was in June, ladies and gentlemen, of this past year. I was honored to go and help out with that event. It's an event put on, well, by Juice Jennings for drug awareness education. It was a great charity event. I am always incredibly happy to help out whenever there's an opportunity for me to use my talents for greater good. Unfortunately, due to the fact that the event had been moved to April 19th, I will not be able to be there. And I know that might shock some folks, but here's a big revelation, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a track coach. That's right. I coach track through my shoot job, if you will, and we have a meet that night. I cannot get out of it. There's just no two ways about it. That's, again, how life interrupts. But definitely check out Twitter to find out about the DBI2, which I will tell you right now, I openly will admit that I forgot what the Twitter account is for them. I know they also have a Facebook page as well. But, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, I mean, I'll tell you right now. Hold on here for a minute. Just give me a second. Thank goodness I have technology here. It is, of course, the DBI information you need. It's at DBI_wrestling. That's on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. And you can find out all the information there about that great event. And you get an opportunity, it's definitely worth the money. I mean, your money's going to go help lots of people in the area that may be battling with some of those substance addiction issues. So definitely check it out. All right, well, that concludes house cleaning, ladies and gentlemen. I have a variety of different hodgepodge of different wrestling news from this week. As you know, the big, big, big story this week was Jack Swagger. As many of you may know, he returned just a few weeks ago to WWE Monday Night Raw. He's got a new kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, like Tea Party gimmick, which they paired him up with Dutch Mantel also known now, I believe, as Zeb Coulter. Many of you may remember him from back in the 90s when he was Uncle Zebekiah, when he was with the Blue Brothers. But anyway, so they've been actually pushing the envelope, so to speak, in terms of like anti-immigration, you know, and all those wonderful, wonderful platforms that the Tea Party like. Well, unfortunately, on Tuesday, Mr. Swagger was busted for DUI and had a little bit of weed on him. So, I think probably it's safe to say we won't be seeing this gimmick much more. You know, I have a feeling that Mr. Swagger's going to have to, I don't know, be put in time out, if you will, punished somehow, receive some consequences. It was funny because what happened was, throughout the week, though, I guess, that Glenn Beck had come out, that Glenn Beck had made some anti-WWE rants on his show. I think it happened last week, but that goes to show you how much I watch Glenn Beck. But anywho, so I guess there was a little back and forth between Glenn Beck and the WWE. The WWE offered him to come on Raw. He said no, but I guess now where I read there's going to be a great parody on Monday night's edition of Raw about Glenn Beck. I hope it's as good as their ones with Ted Turner. Actually, that was sarcasm, because those were fucking terrible. Anywho, so I don't know. I was happy to see. I won't lie. I'll mark out. I liked Dutch Mantel. If you ever get the opportunity to check out his blog was absolutely fascinating. I would read it. Lots of backstage stories. It was really cool. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And in case you're curious, you can just go to dutchmantel.com and you can read his blog. It was interesting. I don't know if it's been updated. You know what? I'm going to go there real quick because I haven't read it in a while. It's been a while. Let me see what they got here. November 5th was the last time it was updated. But hey, if you got some time at work you want to kill, check it out, man, because there's a lot of great stories on his blog. I'm sure they're all archived there. But anywho. All right, moving on, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently tonight, Sunday night, NXT show, Melbourne, Florida, The Nature Boy. Woo! Ric Flair is going to be there. He's going to be there signing autographs and whatnot. Somehow I don't think he'll screw anybody over on the money, a la High Spots. So, interesting little footnote there. Obviously, his daughter's down there training to be a diva, so... it probably is not real shocking that he would show up to do a quick meet and greet. But here's one place where I bet you wouldn't think a meet and greet would take place, but apparently there have been reports that this week, Virgil has been seen in New York City. Doing what, you may ask? Selling his merchandise in the New York City subway stations. Yeah, yeah. You can get some autograph pictures, an 8x10, if you will, from Virgil when you come off the D train, apparently. So... oh, how the mighty have fallen. But really, I think he fell a long time ago, so I'm not even sure that that old-timey saying is apropos. Alright, well, in other news, ladies and gentlemen, through the week of pro wrestling, I guess on the 21st, it became official that The Miz and Maurice Ouellette are now engaged. Good for The Miz. Alright, moving on. I don't know what more to say on that. You know, I mean, good for them. You know? I mean, in a society today where you hear about, you know, I don't know, everybody banging everybody else and nobody really loving being married, I guess that's good news. So, I don't know how long they've been together. Maurice hasn't been in the WWE for a while now, so, I mean, but anyways. All right, some other news here. Let's see. Well, this comes from the police blotter. Apparently, Washington County, Pennsylvania, a independent pro wrestler that wrestles as Kid Lightning was arrested on Thursday for apparently assaulting a woman. He apparently put her in a submission hold, and then when police showed up, he made some, I guess you could say, physical gestures and actually charged at the police. I believe a taser wasn't used. He was arraigned. He claims he has no recollection of it because he was really drunk. However, reports also state, though, that he had an outstanding warrant anyways from New Year's Eve, so something tells me that this may not be the first run-in with the police that old Mr. Kid Lightning may have had. But anyway, so there's a little hodgepodge of wrestling news, ladies and gentlemen, for you. I gotta say, I do like the new WWE title belt that I saw on Raw with the Rock. I hope that those side plates pop off so that when there's a new champion, they can stick something else on besides the silly Brahma Bull emblem. I got to be honest, I thought Raw was pretty boring this week, besides the final small little segment where The Rock had his speech interrupted by CM Punk, and they had that little altercation. But overall, that was pretty darn boring, I got to confess. I wasn't too interested in it. But speaking of boring, last night I had a little bit of time to sit around Casa de la Orlando, and I'll give you a little bit of backstory. I have a great friend who manages to procure me lots of, I guess you can call them, bootleg DVDs of wrestling. Many of them are from WWE On Demand. Actually, they're actually WWE 24/7. That's what the little logo says in the corner of the DVDs. But anyways, so obviously somebody pulls that off, burns it to a disc, and then gives it to my buddy. And I have lots of them. He gave me a whole big giant spindle full of them. So last night I sat down and I said, what am I in the mood to watch? So I picked two episodes of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. The date, May of 1982. As a matter of fact, I believe May 12th and May 19th of 1982. I was excited to watch them. I thought, wow, okay, we're going to go back in time. We're going to see some of the great wrestlers that I grew up as a kid watching. This will be awesome. It was far from awesome. I guess that there was two things that just really shocked me about the hour-long show. Your hosts were Bob Caudle and David Crockett for one episode, and then it was just Bob Caudle and kind of a, I guess you could say, a turnstile of different color commentators. You know, just whoever was out would come out and be at commentary with Bob Caudle. I was amazed at two things. One, I was amazed that literally everyone got interview time, whether they deserved it or not. Don't get me wrong. Rowdy Roddy Piper had his interview. Great. Okay. King Kong Maska, very good interview. Ole Anderson, good interview. Why people like Steve Stiber, Jim Dalton, Kelly Kaniski, why they got interview time was beyond me. Because let me just tell you, it was about a minute and a half to 2 minutes of sheer hell to listen to these folks speak. But by the way, a couple of those folks, Kelly Kaniski, kind of a mid-card guy, but the other two, Stiber and Dalton, they were essentially jobbers. Why do they need to get interview time with Bob Caudle? It was brutal, my friends. Absolutely brutal. Okay, so that was the first thing that shot me. The second thing that shot me was, I guess, the lack of finishers. There were a couple of matches where I was absolutely appalled. Now, and I know it's 1982. It's not 2013. It was a different era of wrestling. I understand that. I mean, I grew up in that era watching that particular time period. But my God, some of the finishers. Oh, case in point, on both episodes, saw a very young King Parsons. That's right, he wasn't even Iceman King Parsons. He was King Parsons, okay? First match, he beat his opponent with just a regular headbutt. That's right, just a regular headbutt. Second match, on the other episode, he won with two consecutive drop kicks. That's the best he could come up with. I don't know. It really just didn't seem to be that devastating of a maneuver. However, that still wasn't the worst finisher on one of those episodes. The May 19th, 1982 episode, your quote-unquote main event, was United States champion Sergeant Slaughter versus a very young and up-and-coming Mike Rotundo. It actually was a really good match, actually. But how did the match end? Well, Rotundo pushes Sarge to the corner. He's punching. The ref gets in between. Sarge punches him in the face and pins him. Now, it wouldn't be so bad if the whole entire time Bob Caudle hadn't hyped up the fact that the Cobra Clutch was the most lethal move in professional wrestling. Sarge didn't even tease the Cobra Clutch. A punch to the face! Unbelievable. I literally could not believe what I just saw. All right, but I digress. It still was cool, I guess, to see, you know, a lot of these stars, though. I mean, I really, as much as I ragged on those two aspects of the show, it was cool to see Roddy Piper, because at the time he was feuding with Jack Briscoe for the Mid-Atlantic title. It was cool to see Ole Anderson in action. Killer Khan was there, so that was kind of cool. It was cool, but yet there were subtleties that I was like, oh, man, wow, this is kind of bad. Kind of bad. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, let's move along here. It's movie time. As I mentioned at the beginning of the PVD cast, that it is Oscar Sunday. And I tweeted earlier in the week, if people wanted to hear. Earlier in the week? No, actually, just the other day. Yeah, just the other day. My bad. It was actually just the other day. I don't know. Folks, I'm going to be honest. When track season comes, like, everything blurs together. I'm that busy with coaching and everything. Anywho, that's not an excuse, really. But just the other day, get back on track, I tweeted that, did people want to hear about my Oscar picks? And I got a kind of a mixed bag of results. But I'm going to go ahead and throw out a couple. And I'll just preface this by saying, I love movies. I really do. I'm a film buff. I go to the theater quite often. I see a lot of stuff. However, there literally are millions and millions of movies, and I have not seen every single one of them, including many of the movies that are up for Oscar contention. So I actually only have four picks, four wishes. I'll go right on record in saying I have not seen Argo, really, really wanted to see Argo, never got a chance to see it. So I'm just going with the movies that I've seen that are up for contention, all right? All right, first pick, Best Supporting Actor. I have to go with Christoph Waltz from Django Unchained. Absolutely phenomenal in that movie. Really liked the movie a lot. I think that it was some of DiCaprio's best work. Waltz was phenomenal in it. And Samuel L. Jackson was absolutely off the chain, pun intended, awesome. And I say that only because, quite frankly, I feel that Samuel L. Jackson's phoned it in for the last couple of years. Like, ha-ha, I'm Sam Jackson. Drink! Ha-ha! Samuel Jackson, it'll get you drunk! You know, so he'll just, you know, he's just riding off that fame, like, you know, and he phones it in. But I really thought that was good. So with that being said, it should be no surprise that Best Picture, I'm going with Django Unchained. I think it was a really great movie. Very, very well done. Best Director, and again, from what I've seen in this category, I'm going to go with Steven Spielberg for Lincoln. I think Lincoln was a pretty interesting tale. A little bit long. I mean, I think that they could have stopped it and not had to go into the whole assassination. The last 15, 20 minutes could have been cut out, but I'm going to go with Spielberg. I think he deserves it. And a film I just recently saw. So, the Best Actor, I'm going for Denzel Washington. The movie Flight was really good. It was a fascinating look at addiction and how that impacts people. And I think from the way the advertisements made it seemed to be a plane wreck movie, but clearly it went whoop, 180 degrees and went the other way. But it was really good. So I'm going to give the nod to Denzel Washington. I really think that he did a fabulous job as playing Whip Whitaker. I hands down, he's going to be my pick. And there you go. That's all I have. I must confess, Best Actress, I don't know. I haven't seen any of the movies for which those young ladies are affiliated with. Although, just as a side note, Silver Linings Playbook, Jennifer Lawrence, I know she's up for that. A friend of mine saw it, and we share a lot of the same opinions on film. He said Silver Linings Playbook, overrated, and that it's pretty much a by the numbers, very formula-oriented love story. But I digress. I haven't seen it, so that's just my buddy's words. However, though, since we're talking about movies, I was challenged to come up with my top sports movies ever. And quite frankly, I'm sure he doesn't care. Jeremy Madrox challenged me to that. He's like, I don't care about the Oscars, John. I want to know, what are your top sports movies? Wow. that was a challenge. Mr. Madrox, you seem to challenge me all the time on Twitter for this podcast. So I did. I sit down and I really thought about making a top 10 sports movies list. But I ran into a problem. There are several movies that, quite frankly, are epic movies, and I've never seen them. Like, I have never seen Hoosiers. I've never seen Rudy. I've never seen The Natural or Field of Dreams. And I think those are pinnacle sports movies that should be on a list. I'm just going to go out there and say it. I mean, I know they're very good. I've had friends that seen them. I've had family members that seen those movies, and they talk about how awesome they are. I've just never seen them. So for me, I feel that my list is somewhat incomplete because I don't have what are, as many consider, cornerstone sports movies. Speaking of which, Bull Durham is not going to be on my list either. I'm not a big fan of Bull Durham. Sorry, I'm not a real big fan of it. So it's not going to be on there. I don't know. I don't know why. I think it's because it's kind of more of like a love story or lust story, let's just be honest, than a baseball movie. But so, okay, here we go. Here's the movies in, I guess, particular order, going from number 10 all the way up to number 1, what I think are the top 10 best sports movies I've seen. Okay, ranking it at number 10, Youngblood. Now, it's a hockey movie starring Rob Lowe, about a gentleman who's spending some time in the minor leagues trying to find himself in the wacky world of minor league hockey. Number 9 is an ESPN 30 for 30 documentary entitled Small Potatoes, Who Killed the USFL? I found that documentary to be absolutely gripping. By the way, I think all of the ESPN 30 for 30s are really good. But this one just resonated with me, I think, because part of it's kind of like a shoot interview, if you will, in wrestling. I mean, just talking about what a big dick Donald Trump was and how he helped to totally destroy the USFL. And I don't know, I remember the USFL. I remember Herschel Walker playing for the New Jersey Generals, and so to me, it was part of my childhood. So that is number 9. Number 8 is a very, I guess you could say, obscure film, but one that I thought was pretty good, starring Denzel Washington and Ray Allen from the NBA. That would be the Spike Lee joint, He Got Game. I thought it was an interesting tale about a father trying to connect with his son. Denzel plays a great basketball standout who went to jail. He comes back to Coney Island and tries to reconnect with his son, who's the next big basketball player. And it had the best line ever that even my friend and I still use this day. When Denzel comes back to the apartment that Ray Allen and his little sister are living in, and he brings Skittles and he gives them to the little kid, and as they finish up a very heated discussion, Denzel looks at the little kid and goes, "You enjoy them Skittles?" And Ray Allen retorts with, "You enjoy walking your ass out that door." Still to this day, it's awesome. So that's number 8, He Got Game. Number 7, The Wrestler. I mean, it's an absolutely amazing movie. Mickey Rourke did a great job. Darren Aronofsky is director, phenomenal. And I say it's a great film because even I have friends who do not like professional wrestling have watched the film and go, "My God, that was amazing." So that's number 7. Number 6, Miracle. You know, what can you say? It's the 1980, you know, men's hockey team, USA all the way, beating the Russians. They should never beat them. The story of Herb Brooks, great coach. You know, what more can you say? Very inspiring. Number 5, which is probably one of the greatest sports comedies ever, Major League. Major League is number 5 on my list. I mean, just, you know, come on, Wild Thing, you know? What can you say? Enough said. Number 4, I'm going with Remember the Titans. Great movie, not only for the fact that Denzel's in it, and the dude that played Avon Barksdale. I can't remember his name, the actor, but Avon Barksdale from The Wire was in it. But a great tale about you know, race relations in the 1960s, which I thought, you know, as a guy that studied history in college, I'm really drawn to it. Number three, Caddyshack. Now, I know I just said that Major League is probably one of the best all-time sports comedies. I think Caddyshack's right up there with it. I guess maybe I should clarify that, saying that Major League's probably one of the best sports comedies in the genre of baseball. Okay, that didn't even make any fucking sense either. Okay, Caddyshack and Major League, two of the greatest comedies. Let's just go that way. Let's not quantify it, alright? Let's not pick on Orlando. Because I may have not chosen my words very carefully there. Okay, but Caddyshack, number three on the list. Great movie, hilarious. Number two, a movie that even though it was released in the 70s, I still think it's pretty damn vulgar for 2013, Slapshot. Come on, man, the Hanson brothers, who then the Dudleys kind of copied their gimmick, so to speak, in ECW. So, you know, Slapshot, phenomenal. Paul Newman, what more can you say? And personally, what I think is the best sports movie ever, the original Rocky. I mean, how can you go wrong with that? I mean, it's a fascinating tale of a man who's determined to make it. It's awe-inspiring. So, I'm going with Rocky as the best. And I gotta be honest, it was tough to put this list together. It really was, because there was a lot of other films that, like I said at the beginning, I haven't seen that probably should be on this list. There were quite a few to just go ahead and eliminate because, you know, like, for an example, The Mighty Ducks, worst hockey movie ever. No, I take that back. Second worst. Because Sudden Death was Jean-Claude Van Damme, which basically wasn't a hockey movie, but had hockey in it. Terrible. Absolutely preposterously terrible. Even for Jean-Claude Van Damme. But I digress. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Since it's just me, myself, and I, Q De La Soul, I'm going to wrap things up here. Let's get on into Orlando's faves. And I say it that way because my first fave is something that I've seen over the last few weeks on WWE. I am thoroughly enjoying the vignettes for Fandango. Johnny Curtis, great wrestler. Can't wait to see what they do with this gimmick. Though, as my good colleague Adam Michaels pointed out, I'm not sure that a lot of people are going to get behind this gimmick. By that, I mean the fans. I think they're going to sit on their hands. But it's great. It's a ballroom dancer. How awesome is that? They'll cheer that fat-ass Brodus Clay for shucking and jiving all over the place along with Tenzai, but I bet they won't cheer or boo or react to Fandango. Plus, that's pretty badass to say it that way. Okay, so that's my first fave. Looking forward to seeing that wrestler appear in the WWE. My second fave, last night, many of you know there was a big UFC pay-per-view. Ronda Rousey got a big UFC win in a historic first-time ever women's MMA contest in the UFC. She got a big win. I do like Ronda. She's very attractive, and I'm oddly attracted to her, even though she would break my arm like a twig. Probably in a matter of seconds, but so that's my second fave. I did not watch the UFC pay-per-views. I gotta be honest with that, if I may. I'm just gonna go off topic here for a minute because I still have one more fave, but I used to frequently go to one of these area restaurants here in Columbus, BW3s or Hooters or the Tilted Kilt, and watch UFCs, but there's just so many UFCs anymore that it just gets to the point. Like, I really feel that UFC is becoming very oversaturated because it seems like every 2 weeks there's a pay-per-view, and I don't know anyone that gets every single one of them. I must confess, I don't have interest in every single one of them. You would think that they would maybe take a cue from pro wrestling, because I've said for years, that there was too many pay-per-views. But I mean, heck, that could be another topic we could talk about on a future edition of the PVD cast. How many pay-per-views are too many pay-per-views? All right, back to my last fave. So we got Fandango as one of my faves. Ronda Rousey's win. My third thing is me. That's right. I'm picking myself. I'm calling my, I'm pulling my own number, coach. Now, I am one of my faves. Why? Because I'm very happy that I've been really, since track season's coming up here, it starts actually this week, but I had a few things going on this past week, getting ready for the season. Or I should say the preseason, actually. Season doesn't start till March 11th. But I've really been trying to push myself to get out of the holiday funk and really push myself to be better runner, to run faster and farther, and I've really reached that. I ran 5.25 miles on Valentine's Day. I've been consistently hitting about 3.5. Yeah, the 5.25 was a little bit of a killer, I won't lie. But I've been consistently hitting about 3.5, and I'm really happy with myself. I'm very proud of myself, so I'm going to make myself the third and final Orlando's fave. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting up to about 35 minutes here, so I'm going to cut it short. As I've said, let me know what you think of the PVD cast. I do really appreciate the fact that people feel the need to email me in or tweet me about what they liked or disliked about it. Let me know, folks, and help me spread the word. Help me spread the word. You folks on Twitter, folks that are fans, you see the tweet, hey, listen to the PVD cast, retweet that shit. Send it out there, man. Send it out there. Like I said, I'm holding steady at 30 listeners. I'd like to move that up to 50 here in the next few weeks. That's what I'd like to do. Small increments. We'll get it up there. It's a grassroots thing if you think about it. Be something. Be part of something, man. Building the foundation of the PVD cast. But with that being said, where can you get a hold of me? Maybe you're a first-time listener. You're like, I don't know how to get a hold of you. Well, you can tweet me at PVDMVP. Or you can shoot me an email if you like, pvdcast@mail.com. Either one of those will be great ways to get in touch with yours truly. And let me know what you think, what you like, what you don't like. As I said before, I'm hoping to get some more folks lined up so we can kind of do a tag team, tandem, and give some more entertainment value to you, the great listeners. So with that, I'm going to sign off, saying I'll talk at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks.